This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
You've got a great disturbance in the Force.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Oh, great adventure. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2B2 podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
Lightsaber sound came on, and you could hear it on the recording.
That's pretty
kind of appropriate.
Just make sure I'm on El Silente.
I don't think mine ever comes off of silent.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I try to keep mine. Well, I've got to keep mine on silent at work because technically I'm not supposed to have it in building with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I leave it on vibrate and then I always forget that it's there and I tend to miss a lot. Yeah, here's my vintage shelf. I don't know if you saw that, but we got the snow speeder. I got some stickers coming in for it. And then I've got my biker scout right here.
Mm-hmm.
When the bike has actually got the flaps on the back, which is kind of rare. I know people are always looking for the flaps.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the torpedo or the harpoon.
Harpoon
into the harpoon block for the snow speeder also, which is kind of a rare. But my Millennium Falcon's just about completely finished out. All I need now are the pylons for the boarding ramp. Yeah, I couldn't think of the blast name. And then after I finish up the snow speeder, I think I'm going to work on an X-Wing.
Well, you get the, are you like just getting salvaged parts from broken?
Basically salvaged parts. Like I'm finding them off of like Facebook. Like there's all these Facebook groups for like vintage Star Wars and stuff. And if you want to set your cup on the open spot on these plastic, yeah, you can move the ad out of the way. It's not going to hurt it. These are plastic anyway, so it's not like it's really going to hurt them. They're like warehouse shelves. So they're for like storing like paint and stuff like that on. So, they're super sturdy, but they were cheap. I got them at Sam's. So, and they work. Like,
they look good. I think the whole metal shelf thing goes with
the
genre, I guess. I mean, for lack of a better term,
you do the lighting, your cool lighting.
Yeah. The only thing I really want to do, like, I was going to hang my dartboard over here that y'all got me last year for Christmas Eve, and I was going to hang that up over there, but I really want to build a shelf for my vintage figures.
Yeah.
And put the vintage figures over there. Like, I've got Smiling Lando, non-Smiling Lando. I've got Prune Face. Only problem with Prune Face, like, I bought one, and he wasn't complete, and then I got a deal on the second one that was complete, and I was going to sell the other one, and then whenever I was going to go sell the other one, I realized that he had a different color eye. I never knew that there was a variant of it, so of course I look, and there's a variant, and I was like, well, crap, now I guess I got to keep it, and I didn't even realize that about the variant.
You still need the vinyl Cape Jawa.
We
had the vinyl Cape Jawa going up, didn't we?
I'm just curious if y'all have $15,000 for me to borrow to get a vinyl Cape.
Yeah, I know, but we had that one, though, didn't we? We had the vinyl Cape.
I don't know. I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
I swore we had it. You don't have a TIE pilot, do you?
No. I want to say he was one of the final 17, so those are kind of expensive.
I think we should make Steven wear the Darth Vader mask.
Right. I have a Stormtrooper helmet in the other room.
Oh, well, there you go. We could all
wear masks for a second. I got a Stormtrooper helmet, and I've got my Mandalorian helmet.
Sweet.
I'm building a Mandalorian costume.
We should do that if you ever go to video.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'd have to wear a mask if someone's going to see this face.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, but yeah, I've got. I think it's the vintage collection I'm the most proud of, just because
you should.
Like those are the ones. I mean, I've got a ton of the 6-inch figures here behind me, but
you should be recording this.
Oh, we have been recording for like the past 4 minutes and 7 seconds.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
I just hit record and didn't tell you.
Always be recording.
I've
been told.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we
I was like, that's interesting. You should be recording
this. Yeah, we're. That's the reason why I've been kind of leaning forward.
I guess maybe I caught on the same thing.
I kind of figured that you did. And another one of my favorites is like these little ships right here, man. Just because like They're small. They've got a lot of detail.
Yeah.
I never did show you all the ornaments. My ornaments came in from Hallmark. The string. Yeah, the ones that link together and like you press the button and they all kind of interact.
Gotta show them before we leave.
Oh yeah, for definites. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still like the Action Fleet that Micro Machines put out.
Yeah, those were cool.
I have a bunch of those at the house, man.
Yeah. Oh, let me do an official intro. Hey, everybody, welcome to the 2BT. I'm Dave.
I'm Michael.
And Steve.
We are officially going to call this episode All in the Family. And I was thinking about that. We could actually call the podcast All in the Family and have it DA, and there'd be no copyright issues.
That works.
I know, right?
Yeah. Let's just do that. Just so we have like, no, what everybody said in the last episode.
That means we're going to go back and change all the email and stuff like that.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, we'll just tell them, like, well, initially what happened was.
Well.
I figured I'd go ahead and give us an official intro here instead of you guys just hearing us talk. We are in Echo Base right now, and we're in the rec room of Echo Base, or one of the rec rooms of Echo Base.
Is that what this is called?
It's a little intimidating.
This was the museum of Echo Base.
Last week, last time we got together, we talked about Dave's obsessiveness, and I'm surrounded by it right now.
Well, tell me this. Are you what's called a completionist?
No.
No?
No.
It looks pretty complete to me.
Yeah, if I was a completionist, there'd be a lot more crap in here. I guess I am a completionist in a sense of where I'm trying to get all the 3 3/4 of the finished figures.
Yeah.
And I've been a completionist so far on the 6-inch figures back here. Like, I've got every one of those. I've got 2 of every one except for the original 4 that was released in the orange line, and I might actually be buying those from a buddy of mine. So, yeah, I haven't missed on one of those yet, so... And that's one thing that I've been kind of focus on. Like, I was doing those, and then now I've found, as you can see up there on the top shelf, the Hot Toys. And those Hot Toys are really, really, really awesome, and they only do, like, a few a year. And they range in around, like, $200. It just depends on which figures you get.
You're talking about the Luke and the R2.
Yeah, Luke and the R2 and the Scarif Trooper.
And the detail on that, you see why they charge so much. It's just...
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, well, technically, the Luke, the Red 5 Luke up there, he's Sideshow, but Sideshow does the, sells the United States for Hot Toys. So they display together, their sizes are the same, their bases are similar, the stands are exactly the same, so.
That Short Trooper's intimidating, it's so nice looking.
Yeah, he's one that I make sure he's secure and doesn't fall off the top shelf up there, so.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Oh, so how's everybody doing this week? I know we're going to talk a little bit of Last Jedi, I think, here, but mainly we're just going to kind of hang out and chew the fat. Can I say shoot the shit?
You say whatever
you want to say. Shoot the shit.
No one's big enough to stop you. It's the Echo Base rec room.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't like the term chew the fat whenever it comes to just talking about, like, sitting around, like.
You can't really chew fat. You chew gristle.
Yeah, exactly. Gristle just sounds gross.
Slimy. Slime around. Right. Chew fat.
Yeah. So.
Today is day one of vacation for me.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, it is.
You work late night.
I told my boss all week long. Yeah, I work for the railroad. I start at 10:30 and I go to 6:30 in the morning, but. Been telling my boss for the first 4 days of the week, just so you know, Saturday night is vacation Friday. So at 4:30 in the morning, I'm done. I know I go to 6:30, but I'm finished at 4:30. I told him for 4 nights. And every night he kind of laughed at me. I'm like, you laugh like I'm kidding. I'm done at 4:30, boss. Right. You know, sure enough, we got done at 4:25 last night. Came in and sat around and then came home.
Well, you're a trooper for being here because I've been, when Dave and I first started talking about this, it's like, man, wish you could have Steven on a lot more than his schedule would have let him. And,
well, Sundays are good for me. I can do any kind of time on Sunday you want to. I don't have to go to work on Sunday nights.
Well, you're a trooper for being here on 2 hours sleep, so.
That's all right. Damn. I'm on vacation.
If you fall asleep, we'll just stick you out there with the dog.
we'll wheel me out there to Sally. She'll clean me up and put me to bed.
She kind of smells really bad right now. Yeah,
you should smell my dogs.
Yeah, yeah. She got a bath last week, actually. Like, it's just bad. I was going to say, we are officially 25 days from the release of Episode 8, The Last Jedi. I don't know about y'all, but I am, like, super, 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 super excited.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like as if a birthday and Christmas were like rolled up in one, along with like, I don't know. I can't think of anything else that would get you all sorts of pumped up that you were getting something awesome for.
Well, this might sound like blasphemy, but for me, December now is
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, oh, yeah, Christmas happens too.
But. Yeah. Well, I'm just like, what's Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't ever want anything for Christmas. No. People get me stuff that I mean, it's nothing I need. It's just want, you know? When at first, when Star Wars moved to December release instead of May, I think Dave and I talked about it a little bit. I was a little upset with it because May is
Star Wars Day.
It's Star Wars.
Star Wars month,
you know? But after The Force Awakens and going with you guys, and then Rogue One and going with you guys, I like December more than I think I like May. And I don't know really why, but it's just that time of year whenever it's, you know, the vibe is going from the Christmas and everything else, and to have Star Wars there, I think it's...
Oh, yeah. Special. And, like, I like it a lot, A, because it is the Christmas time. So I'm already in a good mood. Like, yeah. I'm a big nut for Christmas. I like it. Like, as you can tell, I live by myself. It's just me and my dog, and I've got my house already decorated for Christmas. But, like I said earlier, my Hallmark ornaments came in. So I was like, I really want to put those up. So I'll go ahead and put up the tree.
Well, December's just a smart decision for them financially, anyhow, because they have a break and families can go out.
It is.
Most kids are out of school for 2 weeks at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no like, oh, well, we get basketball games or football games or. We get summer vacation, we're going on, we need to save money. Nah, man, it's, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I don't know, let's go see Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what another thing I was going to touch on, man, is like, you know, with my work, I'm usually off at least a week for Christmas. And so that releases, like, this year, Star Wars releases on that Friday, the 15th. I work, I think it's like the next Friday is the 23rd, and that's the day that I get off for an entire week. At Christmas, like next year, I'll have almost 2 weeks off. So I'll just go see Star Wars. Because the next Han Solo movie releases in May.
Han Solo will be in May.
Yeah. And then we'll have almost 2 years.
Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Force Awakens, how many times did each of you actually get to see him in the theater?
I'm way below Dave. I think I ended up in only 5.
Yeah. I ended up, I think it was either 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. as we talked on the last episode, I'm self-employed, so I don't have to answer to, like, anybody.
Right.
And if I want to go see a movie, I go see a freaking movie, man. And so, like, I would get off work and be like, oh, shit, I kind of want to go see Force Awakens. So I go see Force Awakens.
I'm multiple employed, so really this is one of the only movies I get. We actually go to, we rarely go see movies at all with our family because our setup and when we live so far away, and two, it's just hard to get everything scheduled out. But two movies that we always find time to go see is when new Harry Potter comes out.
Yeah.
That's a definite.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen even if I'm not interested. Luckily, I am. And then Star Wars, I will go see it with y'all.
Yeah.
And then my oldest and my wife, we always go to see it at least one more time.
Yeah.
Then I either await the DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then my sickness is this. Like, I get the early release on the digital, usually on Amazon, because, like, I love Amazon. That's one thing. But, yeah, I get the early release on digital on Amazon, and then I usually go out and buy, like, at least one copy. Like, this last time, it's been multiple copies of both movies because all these different stores have different releases of whatever or whatnot. Like, I think I wound up with, like, 3 separate copies of Force Awakens.
Just because of different packaging?
Different packaging, and then, like, they did, like, they had the Target special, and they had the Steelbook through Best Buy, so I got both of those. And then they, what was it, Steven? Like, 6 months later or something like that, they put out the 3D?
Yeah, because it came out in April or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the 3D copies were released for Christmas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little bit later that they did the 3D.
Oh, no, well, no, Chris, 3D copy came out for Christmas last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it was a year later. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was almost a year later.
Because I have 2 copies of it. Because I bought the original release just in the paperback thing.
And from Target.
And I think we both got the 3D release copy for Christmas last year from Mom.
The copy I got, when we had a Hastings. Used to have a Hastings here.
Oh, I miss Hastings.
But we had an awesome one up in a city northwest where we live, and we used to go there all the time because it's just, you could find great deals on everything from comics to books to music and used things. And I pre-ordered my copy of Force Awakens from them before they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And I got my copy, and I was eager to get it home, not just to watch the movie again, but to see what extra features it had.
Yeah.
There was zip. It was the movie.
Really?
Nothing else on it. And I could have gone to Target if I'd known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have got the same thing for the same price because it was kind of a, I felt a little ripped off. But
yeah.
Yeah, that would be upsetting. Yeah, I don't blame you, man.
A disappointment.
Yeah. Because, like, Target had, the Target one, the packaging was disappointing on that one. But what was cool about it is it did have, like, the extra, like, deleted scenes or whatever that they didn't put in there. But the downfall of that is they weren't on the disc. You had to go online and download them or whatever and put in your code.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of a pain in the
butt. Did the deleted scenes add anything for you? Or
No, a lot of them are completely unfinished.
Oh.
Like, what was it, the Snowspeeder Chase one or something like? It's a green screen copy of it almost. They're sitting there and it's not finished at all. It looks a little corny, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it does. It looks really hokey, actually.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm kind of glad they didn't add that to the movie. So.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because I think they're on the 3D copy. The cuts are on the 3D copy, right?
I'm pretty sure that they are. And then they also, and the reason why I got the 3D copy is because it had a director's commentary with J.J. Abrams.
Oh,
and
awfully.
The one I do wish that they would release, and it's not Force Awakens, is I wish they'd release a director's cut of Rogue One, which will never happen, I don't think, because, you know, they had Gareth Edwards, and then I can't think of the other guy's name that kind of came in and finished up the movie or whatever. And
anyway, it's supposed to be a completely different movie.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Gareth Edwards made a war movie.
Yeah.
From what I understand is Gareth Edwards made the war movie that they said that they wanted. And they were like, wow, this is kind of too dark.
Maybe we didn't want that.
Yeah.
Because originally it was supposed to be Saving Private Ryan meets Star Wars.
Not a little tiny group of guys.
Not a little tiny group. It was, the way it was sold originally was, it's going to be about the ground troops. You're not going to have any Jedi. You're not going to have any all-powerful villains. It's just going to be rebel soldiers against Imperial stormtroopers, and you're going to get to see what the war was really like.
Really?
And, Gareth Edwards, basically, from what I hear, he was basically fired, but not in the sense of the word. He let them doctor his movie to something else, and he, without him saying anything about it, he got to keep his name on it. If he'd have thrown a fit about it, then they would have fired him, pulled his name off, and this new director had been all over it.
Well,
that's the way I understand it. I may be wrong, but that's what I got out of everything I read about it.
I've heard some hate for Rogue One. Have y'all heard any of this? Because I know a guy, and he's like, they said his words are, it is a terrible movie.
Really?
Terrible.
And I like it all right.
You know, watching Force Awakens, I was the experience, first of all, when we first watched it, I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's into it a little bit in the next year with Rogue One, but my enjoyment of Rogue One was pretty much on par with my Force Awakens.
I tell you, honestly, and I liked Rogue One more than I liked Force Awakens.
Right.
I did too. Honestly, and I think it's just because it got those feels, man. It got those feels from the original trilogy.
Yeah,
like, you go in there.
OT, man. I mean, you have Princess Leia.
Oh, God,
I mean, we finally get to see Darth Vader being a
badass.
A bad A, you know?
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you finally get to see what we've wanted to see since 1977.
Right.
Darth Vader being what we always envisioned him, this mega villain that can kill you with his fist.
Right.
While he's killing another rebel soldier with his lightsaber on this hand. And he's walking just ahead like he's walking his daughter down the aisle, you know? It's like it's nothing for him.
Well, that's one of the things I loved about it. It's like, and I wanted to do this that night when I first got the DVD. Didn't get to do it, but watch the movie, throw in Star Wars New Hope, and go for it.
Yeah.
They made it flow so perfectly into the way the first movie was.
I have yet to do a marathon of all of the movies yet, including Rogue One and Force Awakens. Sorry, y'all hear that. I'm trying to adjust my mic. I got it down a little bit too low.
That's not his mic. I farted.
Don't fart, because this is a small room.
Do you have some opinion about that Dave does?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
You're living longer.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
man. It's poison, man. Get it out.
Yeah.
Farty's poisoning me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Share the love, brother. Share the love.
You can love me a little bit better than that.
Oh, heck. Yeah, man, like, and then, you know, talking about the Rogue One and the Carrie Fisher, well, not necessarily Carrie Fisher, but, you know, Princess Leia and the CGI that they did on Leia. I gotta say, man, like, at first, when I first saw Rogue One, and I saw Tarkin, and the way that they did...
That gave me chills. Yeah. The reflection of it in the glass.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, like, we're talking about it right now, and you can see little bumps on my arm. Like, at first, I was like, like, it looks like Peter Cushing, but, like, it still, like, kind of looks kind of plasticky in the face or whatever. But then there was times that it looked really, really good, and you're like, holy crap, did they resurrect Peter Cushing? And is that his zombie or whatever? Because that's the case. Like, his corpse looks really, really good.
Yeah.
But then you got the Leia, and, like, I really liked them putting Leia in there, but then again, like, what are they... If they would have just done the behind view of her, right, I think it would have been great.
Yeah.
But then when they showed her face, like, it looked like Leia. It really looked like Leia. But then when they zoomed in on it, it looked a little bit too CGI rendered to me.
But it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's amazing they created a person that talks.
Well, yeah, they're going to reach a point someday when they won't need the actors.
You won't need actors anymore.
Harrison Ford will be acting in 30 years from now after he's long...
Oh, God. Yeah. Harrison Ford's not going to die. Have you seen him? He's already preserved looking.
Right. Yeah. Like, I was thinking about that the other day, man. Like, you know, like, well, A, like, you know, with Carrie Fisher and stuff. But with Harrison Ford, like, I loved Carrie Fisher. And, like, I actually kind of shed a tear whenever she died and stuff, whenever I heard that she died. Because it's, like, funny story. Me and Dad, mine and Steven's dad. Oh, by the way, me and Steven are brothers, by the way.
We never really
introduced.
That's why it's called All in the Family, yeah. DA.
Exactly. So, whenever me and Dad had gone to go see Rogue One, and I was on Christmas vacation from work, me and Dad decided to just go see it one afternoon. So we went to the movies, saw the movie. And when we got out, I'd left my phone at home. And I'm kind of glad that I did because my phone would have, like, whenever I got home, my phone had, like, seriously, like, 50 missed text messages on it. And, like, people had texted me, like, have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? And while we were in the theater was whenever the news had released that Carrie Fisher had passed or whatever. So, yeah, it was kind of strange to be in watching a Star Wars movie at the point in time. I mean, what other way could I? But that was one thing I was thinking about is like whenever Harrison Ford not only like has been our Han Solo, but Harrison Ford has also been our Indiana Jones. And what type of impact is that going to make on people our age whenever we lose Harrison Ford?
Right.
You know, I mean, like.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't either, man. Like
the older that we get, the list of people that were our icons and heroes that we kind of admired growing up, musically, they're getting shorter.
Oh, yeah,
and shorter.
Yeah.
And actors, it's all this fact of life, dude. We're gonna be alone someday.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you turn 40 and up?
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. I was coming home just a minute ago.
Yeah,
and I was actually thinking about that because Mel Tillis died.
Yeah,
right.
Mel Tillis died yesterday. Malcolm Young was yesterday, and then before that, you know, you had Tom Petty.
Yeah, and it's like that was a big one.
Yeah. So 2017 has been the year of deaths for musician, whereas 2016 was like the deaths for actors and actresses, it seemed like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, man, like, dude, it's been a rough couple of years so far. But yeah, you have Malcolm Young, who dies, Keith Richards.
Ill health for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Richards lives on forever.
Keith Richards will never die. He's already preserved.
Yeah, exactly.
He preserved himself in his youth, and he will not die.
That's what it seems like, at least. And those last few kicking Beatles or whatever, it's like...
Yeah, you got Paul. Paul looks younger and younger every year, though.
Should we just call them the cockroaches since they won't
die? You know, somebody told me one time the Beatles are dying in order of their talent. The most talented.
So Ringo's going to go last.
Ringo will go last. Paul's next. Paul's next.
Yeah.
I would say Paul was more talented than George Harrison, though. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's always the ones that got the attention. Yeah. Really were John and Paul. They were the front men, but if you go back and listen to some of George Harrison's stuff, some of the songs he wrote for the Beatles.
Yes.
Because honestly, when I used to listen, and I wasn't ever a huge Beatles fan, but I listened to enough of it that some of the best songs on some of the albums were some Harrison
songs. Some of the stuff George Harrison wrote, yeah.
The stuff that he did independently really carries on today.
Yeah. Remember that video that he had that was like I can't remember what the song was, but he had this video that was like a bunch of taxidermied heads on the wall, and they were like singing along to the song.
No, I haven't seen that.
I can't remember the last song.
Every time I think of Ringo Starr, I remember the movie Caveman.
You know what I think about whenever I think of Ringo Starr? Shining Time Station.
I don't know what the heck that is.
Thomas Tank Engine, man.
Oh, good lord.
You had a kid that was crazy.
That's right. He is the the voice of the whole TV show.
He's the conductor in Shining Time Station.
If anybody can hear this, we've got a little puppy out the door here wanting to get in really bad.
Yeah, so if you hear me hiss and snap, it's me like...
I thought he was snapping at me because I was talking about the movie Caveman.
No. Well, who's the two, like, name one or two of like the biggest impacts? We were talking about Harrison Ford. Yeah, that's going to be huge because we were talking mostly independently between the two of us in recent months about how they're making the last Indiana Jones movie. It's supposed to be out in 2019, 2020, something like that. And Spielberg says he doesn't ever imagine anybody putting on the hat aside from him, but he doesn't have control over that. But those two big franchises for us, man.
Could you accept somebody else putting on the hat? How are we going to accept another Han Solo? I think, personally, with as much impact as Han Solo has had on my life, I do believe it's easier for me to accept Aaron Aldreich or whatever his name is Han Solo than it'll ever be for me to accept somebody else is Indiana Jones. And I don't know why, but I find it just as hard as heck to accept, especially Shia LaBeouf. Or somebody else.
I would have dropped off with him. Mutt Jones.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I could take, like, if they were to do somebody like Chris Pratt, just because I see a lot of, like, Harrison Ford. You take the latest Jurassic Park movie. I can't think of the name of that one. But a lot of the stuff that he did in that really seemed like Harrison Ford. And the Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. It seemed to me like they based that character off of Han Solo. Like, that's what I got out of that. Or they based Han Solo off of that character. I'm not sure which one came first. I don't know if Star-Lord came first or if Han Solo came first. But, like, to me, those two characters are very, very, very similar. Like, I could almost see Star-Lord going, "It's not my fault. It's not my fault."
Yeah.
You know, they told me they fixed it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's Lando's line.
I know.
Yeah.
You're right. Maybe it's... Depending on, and it doesn't matter really which one came first. Maybe Chris Pratt bases his Star-Lord off of Han Solo.
And that could be it, because I know he's about the same age group as, I think, is what we are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not too much. So,
yeah. I could see him as a young Han Solo.
I can see him as a young Indy or an Indy.
I mean, also. Indy, I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
I'd be okay with it.
As
long as it's done right.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally, I think that's the only way to go with more Indiana Jones movies is you're going to have to restart it.
Yeah.
Because I don't... I like all Indiana Jones, but the most recent one was my less favorite because he wasn't fighting Nazis.
Right.
Well, I've got a theory about that, too. Like, here's my theory with the Indiana Jones movies. They kind of go, like, the odd numbers are the really good ones. Right. Like, the first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, freaking amazing, right? Second movie, Temple of Doom, it was good. I really like it a lot because that's one of those... I remember going and seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark in theaters, but I only saw it once because the snake scared me. Of course, whenever I got a little bit older... I was 4 at the time.
Well, that's okay. They still scare me.
Yeah, right. And Temple of Doom. I really, really like Temple of Doom a lot. But I was older at that point in time, so nothing really fazed me in that one. And then Temple of Doom was okay. Then you had The Last Crusade, which it's tough for me to call which one's my favorite. I would usually lean more towards The Last Crusade as my favorite indie movie over the original one. I just love that one. And then you have the fourth one, which was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But also another thing those have in common is that the historical relics that they have in them is like, okay, so you have a biblical relic in the first one. Second one's kind of like a mystical still, I guess it's kind of a Hindu like relic or whatever. So it's still kind of a religious relic. And then you have, but it's more of a, I guess, crap, I guess you can't really say mystical because then you think of the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, both, they're both mystical items as well. But it seems like kind of like the ones that are
religion-based, religion-based?
I guess those would be Christianity religion-based. Seem to do a little bit better. Maybe it's just because like the writers maybe know a little bit more about the artifact or something like that, or I don't know. But like that could be something to it, because you think about it, it's like, okay, well, now you have like the fourth one, which is also another relic that is mystical, but yet it's also actual. Yeah, it's otherworldly, but then there have been reportings of these crystal skulls that they find.
It's an actual thing.
Yeah. And so it just seems to me that it's like, I don't know, man. It's like maybe it's the basis of the movie or whatever that makes the movies a little bit more better, a little bit more interesting or whatever. But also it seems like whenever he's fighting Germans, it's just a little bit cooler.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Right.
So you say we need to write Steven Spielberg and tell him we want to see Indiana Jones and the Cross of Christ?
Yeah, something like that. Or
I always wondered, there was rumors about it before the Crystal Skull came out, this Indiana Jones and the Sword of King Arthur.
Oh, yeah. I do see that.
I would love to see that made. I would like to see that made.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're talking Excalibur there. I mean,
well, you could go back and, you know, it'd be kind of weird. But you could go back, if they're doing the early Solo movie, you could go back and have, you know, how much time span is between the first two indie movies?
Yeah.
You could go and fill in. You could fight some Germans a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Just like they had young Indy at the beginning of Last Crusade with River Phoenix. He's after the Cross of Coronado. You could do like Indy, like right out of college or something like that before he becomes a professor. Yet he's still an archaeologist and what, you know, artifacts he's going after then.
Well,
it belongs in a museum.
Well, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of the first scenes is he's in his classroom, and he's like, I've got another one. So he's been doing this for a while. So it's not like Raiders of the Lost Ark picked up when he started gathering artifacts. So yeah. I mean, you think from whenever he loses the Cross of Coronado, or he gets the Cross of Coronado, till Raiders of the Lost Ark, I mean, he's got to be almost 40 in Raiders, 30, 40.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 20 years worth of stuff they could put movies in.
Yeah.
I said we go get Chris Pratt.
Indian World War One time.
Well, did fill in with the novels. I've got about three different Indiana Jones novels that were written back in the heyday. Yep. And they do have, they're all kind of tied to some big thing he's going after. I plan on reading them someday to see, but there's the material there.
Yeah. But to kind of break this off the topic and get back into like what we were going to discuss in this episode. We were going to talk about Star Wars. I've been having a blast, but Indiana Jones is going to be a completely, totally different episode. We're going to talk a little bit of Force Awakens. And I want to start off with asking, like, what are y'all's expectations? What do you think we're going to see? What are your, like,
for Last Jedi?
Yeah. For your, I did say Force Awakens, didn't I?
I think Han Solo is going to die.
That's a good premonition.
Spoiler.
All right.
What's going to happen in The Last Jedi? You know, I haven't really thought about it. I kind of want to go into it and just be surprised, kind of the way everybody was with Empire Strikes Back. I think we're going to see this DJ character everybody's making a big fuss about. It wouldn't surprise me if he has a very small part and is in and out of the movie.
Yeah.
Just like Lor San Tekka was in The Force Awakens when they cast Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
This massive actor. Everybody knows he has, what, five lines in the whole movie?
Right. Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Benicio del Toro is in and out of the movie and has no major part at all. It's just a left field thing they're throwing at.
Maybe about the size of Forrest Whitaker's. I mean, he did have an impact.
Yeah, something like that.
On there for a lot of screen time.
Yeah. 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 That, and I, it wouldn't surprise me if it's been changed that we will see, or they will insinuate the death of Princess Leia in this movie.
Really? Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Especially if there's some sort of battle scene at the end of the movie. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't like to make predictions or anything like that. The only prediction I've been saying, and I'm kind of sticking by with mine, is that Everybody keeps mentioning all this stuff about Luke and is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? Is he going to, you know, is he going to start off on, as a good guy and then go over to the dark side and blah blah blah? And thing that always gets me that I don't think people ever realize is whenever they talk about the Force and they always talk about the balance in the Force. The Force has to be balanced. And I think what it is really with the whole line that Luke says, the Jedi must end. I think he's meaning the Jedi's got to end. Like, he's not wanting to train anybody. He's got to end the order because for you to have true balance in the Force, you would have neutralness. You would be a gray, like Jedi, I mm-hmm. guess, or whatever. There would be no evil. There would be no good. It would just be a neutrality, like the Bindu, or I guess, or whatever, from the Rebels cartoon or whatever. Because, I mean, like, think about it. Even if you had, like, okay, if there's all good, that wouldn't be balanced. That would be totally heavy on the light side.
Right.
But then again, you know, Lucas has also been quoted as saying that at the end of the Return of the Jedi is whenever Anakin Skywalker returns, that's whenever the Force was balanced, is whenever he came back to the light side. So it's kind of like, well, you know, I mean, that's a really cool concept and a really cool thing to think of, but then again, like, for you to really have balance, so it's got to be a neutral.
Well, it's all well and good for Luke to say that Jedi need to come in, but as long as there's this dark force out there, the other side, the dark side of the Force, if they're not on board with just kind of being, it's going to be a, they're just going to take over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like one of those things of like, Yeah, I'm stoked, though, man. I'm so excited. Like, and the fact that they've gone and given Rian Johnson the reins to, like, a whole new trilogy.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
That's what's got me thinking this movie will be epic.
Yeah.
Same feeling here, because you don't... Somebody broke down the numbers that basically by giving him... things could change. They could change their mind. Oh, yeah. But the fact that they had the faith in him to commit, let him kind of take over and start off with a story idea that he's going to come up with, is big, because they're entrusting him. What, Star Wars, each of the original trilogy movies were like $4 billion or something like that. And then the merchandising really comes off like 8 times more than that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the real money's at. So they're basically giving him 3 movies that could be tens of billions of dollars that they're thinking he's going to help them bring in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just 3 movies. It's a whole nother branch.
Right.
Because it's not following the Skywalker story. I mean, that's what's mind-boggling to me is when I heard that, I was like, this movie must be amazing. Somebody watched this movie and said, okay, we're going to make him the new George Lucas. Because that's basically what they're doing. Because George Lucas invented Star Wars out of his head, out of his rear end, wherever he pulled all that crap from.
Right.
And
hopefully his head.
Hopefully his head.
Right.
Told us this story, and look where we're at now. Well, now they're basically tapping another man and said, tell us another story.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Skywalker's story was always Star Wars. Well, this one here is going to involve new characters. They say in a distant part of the universe. I mean, that's like naming another George Lucas.
Yeah.
So
it's a big deal. It's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But if this is the feeling I get is just like y'all, that's the thing. You set yourselves up with extremely high expectations based off something like this.
Yeah.
And always keep your gratitude higher than the expectations. So regardless of how good it is.
I'm just glad we got another Star Wars. I'm
just happy there's another one, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if it sucks, there's another one coming in May. We won't have to wait too long for the next one.
Right on.
Yeah.
But it's not going to.
I gotta say just a little bit, like, the Han Solo movie is the only, like, one that I'm kind of, like, have concerns about. But I don't know. I think it's just because the Lord and Miller, you know, had the reins of that, and then they canned them, like, halfway through the filming of it to get Opie, you know, Ron Howard.
Right.
Now, I always forget his name, so as soon as I say Opie, then I always remember that it's Ron Howard.
Everybody
knows, I mean, like, you think of it, like, I know Ron Howard's a great director. I mean, I love Apollo 13. I love movie with Tom Hanks, that the books, Da Vinci Code.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I couldn't think of the last name. I was like, movies with Tom Hanks. That really narrows it down.
Joel
versus the volcano.
Yeah.
Man with one red shoe.
What was the other one? No. Tootsie? Toots?
No.
That wasn't Tom Hanks. No, Toy.
No, that was Robin Williams.
Big is the one I'm thinking about when he was the kid.
Made the wish from the Zartan or something.
He's a good director, though.
Yeah, I
don't remember all the problems. I kept hearing rumors that there were problems on set with the way they were like playing with the dialogue too much or being too off.
Well, everything that I've heard is that they were making it like almost like a Ace Ventura, like
goofy
slapstick style
comedy
or whatever. Which, you know, Star Wars has comedy. We all know that Star Wars,
but
not that kind of comedy. So it's kind of like, man, like it'd be cool. I don't know. I'm excited to see it. It's Star Wars. I'm going to go opening night, of course. You know, especially like it's in May, so you know
I'll be there.
Yeah. It goes into another question I've got for everybody here. With this being what could possibly be the last time we see Carrie Fisher on the screen in the role of Princess Leia, and I've heard that Lucasfilm has said that they will not ever recast Leia. How do you think your feelings are going to be whenever you see her on the screen for the first time as Princess Leia in this next movie? I mean, there's possibilities that they could use cut material in the next movie to maybe have a little bit of Leia in there or whatever, maybe kill her, but I don't think that that's what they're going to do. And I feel like, I don't know, man, like I'm just kind of curious. How do you think you're going to react seeing her on the screen, knowing that this is the last time that we're going to see her on the screen in the role of Princess Leia?
I can't tell you. I'm getting a little sad thinking about it, honestly.
Oh, I know, man.
I do know that once her time is done in these movies, I don't want to see cut screens of her. I don't want to see add-ins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's Princess Leia. It's Carrie Fisher. Once you kill her off in Star Wars, I don't want to see her added back to another one.
Right. Yeah.
You owe her that. You owe her that. And I don't think that you take cut scenes of her from this movie and add to Episode 9.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I think out of respect for what she is or was to this franchise, I think they owe it to her to either, if they did not engineer it into the movie of her death, then it needs to be in the crawl of Episode 9.
Yeah.
That she was killed.
That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to seeing is I'm hopefully going to get more Luke because, come on, that was a bit of a letdown. A little bit of a letdown.
We hate you, JJ.
But, you know, even Mark Hamill has said he was really disappointed
when
he saw the script and he had to go fly to London to do the script readings and he had to just sit there.
Yeah.
You know, I guess just to make sure people.
Well, he was the narrator.
Well, he did the narrator.
Plus, man, they document so much. Like, I even love the photo where they're sitting around in the big round table, you know.
But if he's not there,
Dude, could you imagine what the media would have done if they had the table read and Luke wasn't there?
That's my feeling. But, got to give us more Luke. You know, he's going to be. We've already seen more screen time in just the teaser trailers than we have. And how much Leia is going to be in it.
And what got me was, and this is deals with Force Awakens also, but it goes with the toys, but what got me was they never released the Force Awakens Luke. You know, the old man Luke. They did recently, supposedly, it's supposed to be for The Last Jedi, but I'm considering it the Force Awakens Luke.
That's like Force Awakens.
It's an alright figure, but I'm just kind of like, I think the one thing that's really going to, I don't know how I'm going to feel, man. I know I'm going to shed a tear, especially if they kill her off or whatever, but I think the most hardest moment for me, and is if they do it, which I'm almost positive that they will, is there at the end of the movie, you know, whatever comes up and says, like, for Carrie or dead, dude, and that's like getting me right now, just like saying it, is like, you know, dedicated to the memory of Carrie Fisher or something.
That's really like, damn allergies.
Yeah, dude, right? Like, I don't care. I'll cry. I don't give a damn. It's about to tear up right now, man, just even thinking about it. Yeah, dude, like, yeah, because, you know, they did the special thing there in celebration for her. And it was just like, dude, even seeing, like, the clips of it, you know, Mark kind of, you know, tearing up a little bit. It was rough, dude. It was rough. Yeah. I'm just kind of, that's the only thing that I'm dreading about this movie is seeing her up on the screen for the last time in the role of Princess Leia, you know? And you know, that's one thing that I'm kind of curious about with the new movie. You know, it shows, well, we've all seen the trailer, and if you haven't seen the trailer, then hit you know, turn down your radio right now or whatever. I don't think this will be out before the movie. It might be. But anyways, if you haven't seen the trailer, then turn down your radio because you're trying to stay spoiler-free. But, you know, it shows him take aim on the bridge where right. she's at and getting ready to shoot, but he's hesitating. You know, I don't think that they would show that on the trailer and then him actually pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's
me. To me, this is too much of a teaser. Yeah. I think this... yeah, it's kind of like
it's too perfect.
Yeah,
you know exactly. what I mean. It's in there to make you think that's what's going to happen. It's not going to.
Oh yeah,
that kind of makes me think of something. I've heard if you can take it as a criticism or a compliment, but a lot of people said that you could kind of see the blueprint for The Force Awakens and Star Wars: A New Hope. Yeah. Which leads you to believe this will be the empire of that, because you're going to end up with, got to have a cliffhanger to set you up for the third movie, because these are just chapters in the same story. How do you feel about the fact that there are so many little
similarities? I don't care, man. And people sit there and say, well, oh, well, they just follow the blueprint. And I'm like, well, no. I mean, like, if that's the case, then you can relate that to almost any movie.
True.
You know?
There are only a certain number of stories that are just told.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, I mean, granted, they had a giant space station that could destroy planets.
Yeah. Well, how many super weapons in space can you build that aren't going to be a round shape?
Yeah,
true.
I mean, you've already built super Star Destroyers.
Yeah. And, you know, the round shape is actually the most, not functional, but the most space equivalent, the best one to use, because you have more inner area than what you do surface area. So why would you not have it as a spherical shape?
My thoughts are, it's a planet with a cannon. Right. I mean, come on. That's cool. It's a planet with a cannon. Why can't Earth have a cannon?
I don't want to be near that.
No, I wouldn't want to. I mean, it'd be on the equator. I think we'd be safe. Okay. It was that random Starkiller base.
My butt has a cannon.
It always comes back to that.
I had to throw a little bit of that humor.
Do not lock and load.
No, it's empty right now. I don't know. That's been...
I want answers to questions, though. I've got so many questions from...
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Rey scenario, being left on that planet, growing up there, needing... She, and desperately, rewatching it a couple weeks ago, she just wants to get back there. Just, and everybody's like, why? No one's there for you. No one's coming back. But she's like, I got to get back.
And Maz tells her that, you know, or Maz or Maz or however the devil you want to pronounce it. You know, she tells her that what she seeks is not behind her. It's in front of her. Right. So... I don't know. That's a good question. And that's one thing that, you know, I've kind of been toying with the idea that maybe, you know, and I think I said this in the last episode that Rey has a possibility of being, you know, kind of like the new Anakin, where she's like the Jesus of the Jedi, where she was, you know, Immaculate Conception or whatever.
Right.
You know, to where it's like she was created out of the Force. Kind of like what Anakin was. But then again, you know, like as Maz tells her, you know, what you seek is in front of you, not behind you. And what she says is she's always constantly needing to go back to the planet for is because her family left her there and her family's coming back.
Right.
So does that mean that where she goes is where she'll find her family then?
Well, do you know?
Does she mean family in like the metaphor as like your friends can be just like family, not necessarily blood or whatever. So there's different meanings that you can get on that. And it's like, well, crap, man, I just don't know.
Do you think she's already met her family and just doesn't know it?
I don't know. I'd like
meeting Luke, Han, Leia.
See, throughout the whole the Force Awakens, I had this feeling that she was going to be like this lost child of that was taken away early age from Han and Leia. But, you know, at the end of it, I'm like, nah, that doesn't seem like, I don't see that. But Kylo has this weird, what girl?
Yeah, well, here's something somebody said somewhere, and I don't remember where it was at. What if she's like Leia's child? I mean, Han's been gone for a while.
True,
yeah.
We don't have to know the father.
True.
And what if Kylo is the one that hid her?
Yeah, I had that feeling that he was involved with that.
So maybe that's his sister, and because, I mean, you can tell, you know, there's rumors going around Han ignited the lightsaber to help Kylo get closer to Snoke and all that other stuff. What if Kylo hid Rey, his little sister, to hide her from Snoke, and then he went to join Snoke to keep Snoke away from Rey?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, everybody's whose daughter is she? I don't think she's Luke's. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Luke is completely embraced the monat. What's the word?
Monastic.
Monastic yeah. lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
And Han supposedly left when Kylo was small. Leia has
one more thing about her. She has been on her own.
Yeah.
Presumably not knowing that she has any of these tendencies. It's not like the whole movie is called The Force Awakens. She manifests so much ability and power independently of any guidance at all.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout, how on a power scale, she could potentially be... I mean, Luke had to have some help.
Yeah. He had to have, you know, Obi-Wan and then Yoda kind of like help draw that out of him and have him... Oh, use it or whatever, because, you know, as we all remember, he had the scene of him on the Falcon where he's like, I did feel something, you know, whatever. Whereas she just kind of like...
And it just kind of dawns on her.
Yeah.
Like when Kylo's probing her mind, and she's like giving in, and he's seeing
she
things.
She reverses it.
And then she's like naturally just like, no, and shoves him, just like punches him in the face, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And what she does really is she reverses it on him because she's like, your biggest fear is that... You'll never live up to your grandfather, Darth Vader, or something right. of that aspect. You know, right. you're afraid you'll never live up to Darth Vader or whatnot. So she technically like reverses it on him and like probes his mind while he's trying to probe hers. And
your whole idea that it might be leading to neutrality.
Yeah,
she might be the cause. Anakin brought balance to the Force.
Yeah,
she might be the cause to the neutrality. She might be strong enough to follow Luke's guidance. We need to end the Jedi, but we have to get rid of the dark side also. Yeah, we have to have this middle ground. Just a theory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, crap. Like, I start thinking about it. I'm like, oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah. December 15th. We're going on the 14th or whatever. But still, like, man. Like, I don't even know. Just stoked.
It's just basically a countdown.
Yeah, man. I want to make all these predictions and all like this, and I don't want to because I don't want to sound like a dumbass whenever it comes out and be like, whoa, well, I was completely off on that one or whatever, you know?
Well, that's true. Yeah. It's fun to theorize, but until they give you the product, you just don't know.
You're talking about The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Movie tickets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, okay. I was like, what?
My boss number one took all my movies.
I know. Don't worry about it. I wasn't even going to worry about it. I was like, that's the reason why I was kind of like, huh? What's the $20?
I've been trying to remember that forever, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, crap, I got $20 in my wallet.
You want to go out and get some burgers.
That's probably what that's going to be used for, to tell you the truth. That or pizza later on. Yeah, right on. Crap, man.
Not all this stuff is just fun. It's just fun speculation.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and the different fan groups that you're part of, like I like Valiant Comics, and people just, they get way over the top in their theories and making everything tie together and this and that. Really, I'm just happy when they give me a good story and I can follow along. I can speculate all I want, and I'm guilty of it. I like to think about, well, maybe they're going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly okay with Rey springing from the sands of Jakku, and okay, cool. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Well, and like going back to your question earlier about the following a little bit of the same story guidelines with the, you know, starting, you know, where I'm really, really, really okay with what they did because as, you know, now I've put a little bit more thought into it, you know, she does, you know, A New Hope starts on Tatooine. We all know that, you know, and then. The last, God, I keep calling it, The Force Awakens opens on Jakku. Now, the only thing that really got me, the only thing that really kind of upset me was like, why didn't they just make a Tatooine? I like the fact that our new hero came from the same type of, you know, setting as what Luke Skywalker did to begin with. Like, granted, you know, she's not being raised by her aunt and uncle. She's kind of off on her own, living inside an old AT-AT. But, you know, she's got a little doll that's a little X-Wing pilot that looks like Luke almost. That you could think was Luke or something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I really like the correlation there between the stories, to tell the truth. Just, I think it's kind of a neat touch. You know, and you have your famous cantina scene, whereas they just kind of blow through the cantina in this one. They don't take enough time. And really kind of on all the aliens. I know lots of people like all the aliens. But, you know, I dig a lot of them also, but the aliens have never been what drew me into Star Wars, you know. But, Yeah, man. I dig it. I'm going to ask y'all a question, and this kind of ties in Rogue One as well, but like, who did you like better as a leading lady, Felicity Jones or Daisy Ridley?
Daisy Ridley.
What about you, man?
I'm pretty balanced. I think they both did a good job. Yeah. They both really carried it, but, you know, two strong female characters. That's one of the things I love about what they're doing.
Yeah. There's
been a lot of good movies for young adults and for just everybody where there have been strong female protagonists. And
yeah.
I love it for, because I got a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
And she's got to see these, as opposed to the princess in distress having to be saved, you know, even in the New Hope and Luke, I'm here to save you. And
yeah.
Just Leia was always kind of tough.
Was she really needing saved, though?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, though. She I like it when they flip it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the one thing that people don't understand is like, I'm going to touch on that, then I'm going to go back. Okay. That's a lot of. One thing I always say that people don't understand is Star Wars was revolutionary, especially back in the 70s. You didn't have those strong leading ladies like that. You can actually look at Carrie Fisher as being a leading lady back then.
Yeah, she was.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a trio.
Oh, yeah.
Princess Leia, somebody get this walking carpet out of my way.
Oh, yeah. And there's a garbage chute flyboy. She, like, takes, like, all she needed was somebody to open up the door. Yeah. She didn't need a rescue.
That's it.
She didn't need a rescue. Because she gets up and she's like, you're who? And she's you're a little short for a stormtrooper. I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here with Ben Kenobi. Ben Kenobi. And then, you know, they hit the bricks, man.
Yeah.
Because she could have just gone on her own way and probably got out of there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But, yeah, man. And that's you know, I got to say, I'm kind of more of a fan of Felicity Jones than what I am Daisy Ridley. I got nothing against Daisy Ridley. She's adorable. She is adorable, and something to me about Felicity Jones makes her a little bit more gruff, a little bit more tough, and it could just be the character of Rey and the character of Jyn, you know, and it just could just be their styles or whatever, but like, to me, like, she's got a little bit more of a rough exterior and like a little bit more of a background. What?
I'll talk in a minute.
All right. I got like a booger hanging out of my nose?
No.
But, yeah, no, man, like, I don't know, like, something about, it could be, like, I gotta say, like, you know, back in the day, Carrie Fisher was my girl, like, now I'm kind of all about Felicity Jones, and I could just be being biased now that I'm like, yeah, man, Felicity Jones, she's, like, just freaking, I don't know, she's, yeah, and Daisy's just, she's great, I love her as Rey, but to me, the character of Jyn Erso has a little bit more of that, more harshness, a little bit more gruff, a little bit more of a, like, no-nonsense whenever it comes to the mission-type person.
Right, and she's further along as far as character development. I mean, with this, her story that you're going to get is that story that they gave in that movie.
Yeah.
Where this is The Force Awakens for Rey. That's just the first
chapter
in her arc of growth. So there's lots of room for change.
I personally did not like the character of Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
And, well, I'll get to the reason why I don't like Jyn Erso, but I'm just not a Felicity Jones fan.
Yeah.
There were some scenes in there, to me, her acting seemed wooden. Maybe that was the character.
Yeah.
And, of course, you could say the same thing about Daisy Ridley as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I really can't put my finger on it. I liked Rogue One a lot.
Yeah.
I just didn't necessarily like... I like Felicity Jones. Maybe it's just the character of Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
And as I told you guys in a text a couple of days ago, it's my ex-wife's name's Jyn, and I kind of like the thought of her getting blown up by the Death Star. So, right. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That kind of made me feel good. I'm like, oh, man, right. That's liberating.
Dude, and I always say, like, you can't have a better ending of a movie than what you got with The Force Awakens. Yeah. And then I saw Rogue One, and the ending with Vader going through just... tearing it up, dude. That was just...
Yeah, that's the
yeah. I know we already discussed that, but I was just going back to it again. Because Vader, whenever he goes in there and just tears everything up, dude, you're just like, whoa, dude, oh my God. But, you know, at the end of Force Awakens, I got one of the things I always wanted to see in Star Wars was Luke in the actual, like, Jedi robes, like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And... that's one of the things that I love the most about The Force Awakens, because I've always wanted to see that. And I'm very vocal on the last episode as I am in life. Like, dude, I love Luke Skywalker. He's my dude. He's always been my dude. You know, and that's kind of like, well, I've got like more expensive stuff of Luke Skywalker than when I do other figures or whatnot. But yeah, dude, it's like, it's just, yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Since you're asking the questions, I got one for you.
What's that?
Yoda in The Last Jedi, yes or no? Ooh. Not if he is, do you want to see Force Ghost Yoda
in The Last I would love Jedi? To see Force Ghost Yoda in The Last Jedi. I would love to see that. Man, I love Yoda. Yoda has got some of the best lines.
It's I still cry when Yoda dies.
Oh, yeah. Jedi. Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
To this day. That's right. I get teary-eyed. That is one of the most heart-wrenching death scenes of any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. I love Yoda. Yoda has been one of my favorite characters for a really long time. I've got the orange snake version of Yoda right up there. I've got the black series version of Yoda right behind me. But yeah, man, I've even some of the lines that he gets to deliver, and you gotta equate. And the funny thing is like Mark Hamill never gets praised for his acting chops, but Mark Hamill did an awesome job making a puppet seem real. Oh, and it's not just Frank Oz doing it, but Mark Hamill acting and reacting with the puppet is what made that little puppet seem real.
You got to believe that the actor is feeling the character is a really
actor.
Right.
Because you talk about little weird elf-like things dying that make you sad.
Yeah.
We just saw the end of near the end of Deathly Hallows.
Oh,
yeah. With Dobby, the house elf, the knife, the chest, and you. And then I almost peel a tear right there. That's sad. And again, it goes back to the guy that Daniel Radcliffe pulled it off.
Yeah.
He's holding this little plastic doll.
Yeah.
Not real.
Yeah.
It's not a living, but he does a great job in feeling. You can feel his pain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny how a little weird thing like that can actually affect you emotionally.
Yeah. And here we are hoping for that puppet to come back in a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe Dobby will
come. 30 years later.
The Force goes to Dobby.
Some franchises here.
I would love to see Yoda as an advisor to Luke still.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Luke's living on this rock by himself pretty much. I would love to see Yoda as a permanent fixture. Like, an everyday, he hangs out with Luke 10 hours a day.
Do y'all watch The Big Bang Theory?
Every day.
Okay. So, you know, when I start talking about the, and now I'm blanking on his name, Sheldon's, Sheldon's had Professor Neutron as his hero, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he does that. He
Professor Proton.
Professor Proton, yeah. Bob Newhart.
And
he goes in, and when in times of distress, he goes and visits Yoda, because he's dressed like a Jedi.
It's like a little Yoda. Kenobi,
he's like, Why am I dressed like this? We might be somewhere so wet because I'm sitting in my dog and it's uncomfortable. Even though I'm not real, I'm like, can we not just go to a deli?
Did you see the one where he tries to stab himself with a lightsaber? He ignites it. Well, that didn't work.
Bringing that up, I'm sorry to take it off tangent.
No, you're good, dude. Yeah, like I said, man, some of the stuff. I always like joke around and say like Yoda has lines that you can live by. And it's true, man. It's true. And it's kind of funny. Like, I've got a tattoo on one of my collar pieces is a Yoda saying. It's do or do not. There is no try.
Well, absolutely. And I know people that they'll you're asking a question or people are having a problem. They use lines like that.
Yeah.
And I tell my kids that.
Yeah. Well, my mom used to whenever I was a kid. Like, I'm dyslexic both with like numbers and letters. And, I would always have a lot of trouble doing my math homework, and I would always tell my mom, oh, I can't do this. And she'd tell me, can't, never could until he tried. And I'd go back and I'd try it. And I'd tell mom, I'd be like, Mom, I try, I can't do this. And she'd pull out Yoda on me, do or do not, there is no try.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, crap, Mom just pulled out Yoda, so I guess things are serious. So I go back, and next thing you know, I'd knock it out. It was good. I could do it. It's just, it took me a little bit of effort. And that's, you know, Yodaisms, man. They're powerful.
You can take it to different levels, but it's like, if you're going to do something in life, do it.
Yeah.
Don't halfway try something.
Yeah.
Oh, and just not, you know, I don't care about it. If you're going to do it, put your heart into it and do it. If not, do something else.
Ain't no sense in doing it if you ain't going to do it right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're wasting energy.
Yeah, but I would love to see Yoda as a Force Ghost. I would love to see
My original answer was going to be no, but y'all have sold me. I'm definitely going to be disappointed.
I want Yoda more than I want Obi-Wan.
Right.
Yeah. I want an Obi-Wan movie as well.
I want an Obi-Wan movie with Ewan McGregor.
Right. Yeah.
I like Ewan McGregor a lot. I think the dude's cool. I think I like his acting, and I want a movie called Kenobi.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
There's a novel written from the...
It's actually a really good book.
That's one of my favorite Star Wars novels.
Have you read it?
I've got it. I've just kind of skimmed it. It's on my long list. Dave was at my house. He saw my long list.
He just started Red Rising.
I'm hooked on that. I haven't even finished the first chapter of that book, and it's like, I'm going to finish this.
Did you read Red Rising?
What is that?
You should read Red Rising. That's a different episode.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's a really good. Rumor is that they're making a movie for it. It's got an IMDb page, and it's got a director set up for it or whatever. If it ever really gets made, I don't know, because there's no actors or anything like that cast for it. But
you never know, because I mean, guys make livings writing scripts for stuff that I mean, they have careers.
I'm hoping that they do a Red Rising movie. That would be awesome. Anyways, back to Star Wars.
Sorry.
I don't know. No, you're fine, man. I was trying to think of stuff that we haven't really covered yet on this and on The Last Jedi.
Well, December 15th.
I'm happy.
14th for us.
One of the things I'm happy with is, you know, the similarities is you had your Han, you had Luke and Leia, and then you had Chewbacca. Can't leave him out.
Oh, yeah.
But you had that trio of core characters that kind of things kind of revolve around. We got that again with Rey, Finn, and Poe.
Yeah.
And Poe was supposed to have even died, but he was such a strong actor, right?
He
convinced JJ to keep him alive, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
But we've got that, and then you got the new robot sidekick, the BB-8. I like the way that they're... It's not just one person they're following, because they have the different storylines. They're all leading to kind of the same place you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
The one thing I am curious about, and since they recast a guy for Chewbacca, I'm just curious if they are going to keep Chewbacca in the Star Wars movies, because he is a kind of a character that could transcend the ages, because as they said, Chewbacca was supposed to be young in the original trilogy, where he was like only supposed to be like 200 years old. Same thing with the droids, R2 and 3PO. I kind of wonder if they're going to continue keeping them in the storyline or not. That was
my next question, is, okay, R2 and 3PO, do they go or do they stay? I mean,
it's a tough question.
I would love to see
them. They got to become an obsolete models, but they still seem to be working good, right?
Yeah. So, you'd think with the right maintenance.
But, I mean, if you get rid of Luke, you get rid of Leia, those are kind of the overseers of R2 and 3PO.
We already saw what happened when Luke went away.
Yeah, R2 shuts down.
He shut down, unless there was a reason he was shut down until that piece had to come back.
Yeah. I kind of lean towards that the reason why he kind of had shut down, because he did have an important piece that said, hey, this is where Luke is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of shut down to kind of even make sure that did not leak out any at all.
Right.
That's my theory.
I think that's another one that they'll be in the next two movies, but after that, we may not see him anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Chewbacca. Him catching a shot. I mean, I was scared the heck out of me when he got shot in the last movie.
Oh, no,
they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you're familiar with one of the novels, R.A. Salvatore.
Yeah.
The guy that wrote a bunch of books.
All the Forgotten Realms.
He got hired by Lucasfilm to write the novel in which, and he was told Chewbacca has to die.
Yeah.
He gets hate today, I think, from that.
Is that the one where they dropped the whole planet on Chewbacca?
Yeah, like a moon crushed him or something.
Yeah. Something like that. And, you know, that's...
Damn, if you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed that they killed him. I jumped in the EU after Chewbacca got killed. And,
it wasn't his decision, but he caught a lot of hate.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that. Star Wars guys are crazy, man.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Have you looked at the
role? Yeah.
Everybody gets so mad about everything. They've got to have it their specific way, and if they don't have it their way, then they get so aggravated, man. I just sat back and just, I've got some friends that they would sit there and like, saw the trailer for The Last Jedi, and he was like, yep, looks just like Empire Strikes Back. We're just gonna... I'm like, dude, You haven't even seen the movie, but yet you're seeing the trailer.
Yeah, you're already jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just aggravating, man. It's aggravating. So
I'm a watcher. I sit at work and watch people argue all night long because working for the railroad, it's all union based.
Right.
So being in Texas and in a union employment, you have hardcore left wing, hardcore right wing, and they get in the yard office and they argue. And I don't care.
Yeah,
right.
And to hear these guys go at it, and everybody has a valid point, because you can take this guy, and man, he's making sense. But so is this guy.
Yeah.
You know, just to hear them argue, this, oh my goodness gracious.
Star Wars and get over.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, man, we're here to make a paycheck. Why don't you leave all that stuff at home?
Oh, yeah. I gotta go by the contract, though. I'm a union guy. I can't complain. Like,
well, I'm a union guy. Yeah, I go by the contract, all that other stuff. But I mean.
But when you're bringing stuff into the workplace, like that happened at my wife's work last week, and I'm like, they said what?
Yeah.
That's inappropriate, one, because you're there to do a job, not to push your political philosophy.
And people are so hardcore drawing their lines, they're going to hate a movie by looking at a trailer without going to see it, because they already have it in their mind. They can't like this movie because so-and-so made it.
I told you all about a movie that I'm a Stephen King fan from when I was a kid. I read a lot of his books. And one of the things I loved is his actual first work that he started working on was a series called The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
The Gunslinger.
Yeah.
Man in Black. Led across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. I'm sure the true fans. I think I actually got that right. So I'm gonna
say that. Yeah.
Anyhow, it's an impactful thing on my reading when I was growing up, and they made a movie, and really the movie is a sequel. I told you about it. It's called The Dark Tower. Idris Elba's in it. I love Idris Elba.
I like Idris Elba.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's in it. He does a decent job. But
I like Matthew
McConaughey. Oh, people formed their ideas. As soon as they watched this movie, everybody, and I listened to some podcasts about it, and I waited till after I had seen the movie myself to see the reaction. They still liked it, but they were all disappointed because it didn't start out and follow like the actual storyline of the book.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that.
No, you got a time constraint whenever you're doing a movie, man. You can't put everything into a movie that you do from a book.
Right. And this was actually, it's actually considered a sequel because it goes deep into how there's a circle and things kind of replay over time. Anyhow, not to get into that.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing with the George R. R. Martin stuff with the Game of Thrones.
Right.
To where it's like, I love the Game of Thrones series, man. Like, and I've read the books. And I got to say, like, I started the show before I started the books. And so, therefore, I'm kind of more leaning towards I like the story better with the show than what I do with the books. But then again, like, I really enjoy the books as well. And I'm sure that
it kind of does go back to what you start with.
Yeah.
You know, what's influenced you? Because, I mean, I know a guy, I think he's read the series, entire series at least 8 times. And I think he said his wife has read it more. She will still watch the series just because she loves Game of Thrones that much.
Yeah.
And if y'all haven't seen him, if you're reading Game of Thrones, you're committing yourself to a lot of time. But he won't watch the show because he thinks it's awful and terrible and garbage because he read the books. He loved the books. He's not being given, except for a few things that go so off the storyline in the books with the show. They're going towards the same goal, but me, you know what, just give me something I can enjoy and watch, and as long as you don't completely destroy it.
Well, and I kind of think of it like this, like, whenever it comes to series and things like that, because, you know, they haven't just done, like, Game of Thrones, they've also done American Gods, which is another great book by Neil Gaiman.
Right.
And, like, the show is pretty good, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, I understand people taking the artistic liberty with it and stuff. And very rarely, like, especially whenever you're doing a movie, like, you're stuck with time constraints, but whenever you're doing TV shows, you're doing multiple seasons of TV shows, I can see where you could, like, if you wanted to, you could totally follow by that story if you wanted to. But then again, you're also, like, taking something to somebody and just saying, like, you don't get any input on this at all. Yeah. You have to just, like, do this story and that story alone, and that's it. And, you know, I kind of think that's kind of like what happened with a little bit of the Star Wars movies, to tell you the truth, because, like, I think this is one of the reasons why the original trilogy, in my opinion alone, but the original trilogy to me is a lot better than the prequel trilogy. And part of that reason is because there were so many more people that had input on those original trilogy movies than what there was on the prequel. The prequel trilogy was nothing but Lucas and Lucas alone. Whereas the original trilogy had lots of input with it. Not only that, he also had to answer to studios. You know, whereas with prequels, it was all him. And, you know, we all know what happens. You start getting a little bit of fame. You start surrounding yourself with yes men. People are scared to tell anybody, like, no, that really kind of sucks, man. Wow. You know, so, you know, you get to situations with, you know, like what happened with the prequels. I enjoy the prequels, but my Star Wars is the original trilogy. So,
but I have this theory that your experience determines later in life what is your favorite things. Meaning, our first experience was with the original trilogy.
Yeah.
But there's lots of young people that are a lot younger than us. That was their first experience, and that's what they see as Star Wars. Right. That's what they love. And so, I don't have a problem.
Oh, that's Steven and Jonathan, my kids, that's their Star Wars.
Right.
The prequel trilogy. Jango Fett. Little Anakin, you know?
And one of the weirdest things that I remember being in the toy aisle looking for Star Wars figures, and there was a kid over there, and he was looking at Star Wars figures also. And he had, like, this big stack, and he was going through, he's like, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy. And it was so cool, because he came up to Palpatine, and he goes, this is a good guy. And I was like, oh my gosh, you don't know yet, do you? And I was like, dude, it was so cool because I wanted to go up there and just shatter his little dreams and be like, he's a super bad guy.
Right.
And I just spit all over the microphone. I got all excited, like, just like chomping at the bit. But yeah, man, I was just like, it shocked me that you know, it's like, oh, hey, man, you know, whenever you see something like that, it puts it into perspective that, like, you know, just because this trilogy right here is the one that you grew up with doesn't mean it's always the best, because as you said with your kids, like, they grew up with the prequels, that's their Star Wars. My Star Wars is the original trilogy. That's the reason why I'm not going to talk down to anybody, because, like, well, your idea is the same as mine. Like, dude, I love it all. Granted, like I said, I collect the original trilogy and all, but, you know, I got some prequel stuff in here somewhere.
Yeah, you can go to little Steven and lay all, what, 8 movies out in front of him now. Ask him which one he wants to watch, and he will pick Revenge of the Sith every stinking time.
Yeah.
He likes the old ones, but he doesn't like them a lot because they just look funny.
Yeah. I love Revenge of the Sith, man. Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of my Sith is the favorite prequel. Yeah.
I want to take y'all off topic a little bit once again. Yeah. Call me the distractor. But is there anything that you were crazy about when you were younger, be it a movie or music or something, that you go back to later in life and hadn't watched it a lot since then? And then you watch it for the first time in several years, and it's like, well, this is not good.
Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iron Eagle.
Yeah. Iron Eagle.
Kid me, love that.
Yeah, yeah.
But looking back at that, that's
you can see the strings on over there swinging around.
Yeah, dude, the Never Ending Story, and like, it's a great story, but the movie was horrible, man. Oh, I tried watching it not too long ago, and I was like, Atreyu. My dog is making some crazy ass noises. Go.
Oh, she deserves it.
She just wants attention is all it is. Mm-hmm. The dog is the worst attention whore in the world. I love her to death, but yeah. Anyways, man, there's lots. There's even music that I could get into that I was like, I remember we had the Twisted Sister Stay Hungry album,
right?
And that's still good though.
Yeah,
that's still good.
All that, but there's some things like I've listened to. I think it was popular in my peer group, like Brad.
Oh,
yeah. I cringe. Whenever it comes on the XM station, I gotta turn it. I can't listen to this anymore.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is kind of staying with it, but just a little bit different. I was listening to some Run DMC not too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And, like, of course, that's like, you know, kid when Run DMC came out. I never realized, you know, back then all I heard was like basically like the beat. And I was like, these guys are rhyming. This is pretty neat. And, like, I went back and listened to it now, being older, and, like, I never realized how positive their lyrics were.
Right.
A lot of their lyrics were like, you know, you got to stay in school, you got to get an education. Yeah. I keep my microphone in my locker, you know? Well, it's like, holy crap, dude. Like, there was a lot of positivity coming out of their lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap. Like, it wouldn't go over nowadays.
There is a lot of positive people, they just don't get the attention.
Oh, yeah.
Always the ones that are the negative that get more attention.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good hip-hop artists that
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that they're not. But
Brother Ali, you ever get a chance to listen to some, like the most recent Brother Ali album?
Okay.
If you're interested in listening to a little newer hip hop.
Dude, I listen to everything. Like, you know, I sent y'all the album the other day that was Flogging Molly. And it's, you know, it's like Irish, like punk.
Dropkick Murphys.
I love Dropkick Murphys, man. Dropkick Murphys is like one of the best shows I ever went and saw, man. Like, it's kind of neat because they came out and it was like their 20-year thing or whatever. And they come out and they do this long list of like just hits from all their albums, and they like kind of like take a break for a second. They bring out acoustic instruments, and they played Barroom Hero. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before. Yeah. If you haven't, I'll play it for you here in a little bit. They play Barroom Hero, and they're playing an acoustic. And I was like, what the hell is this? This song's like upbeat, you know, face down in a gut. I don't want to admit defeat, though. Anyways, I'm not going to sing it.
Keep going.
But he, you know, it's like, it's one of those kind of like, jamming songs or whatever, and then they did it like acoustic, and I was freaking blown away. I was like, dude, that is badass. Like, yeah, it's good times. But anyways, yeah.
I'll derail us for the 10th time.
Yeah, you know, I think that's
Star Wars, Star Wars really happening. We're going to get to see it in how many days?
25 days. 25 days is exactly it. But I think that's going to wrap us up, man.
Fun, man, and I'm glad Steven got to join us.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
I'll join you as often as you let me.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
You guys can find us at Facebook at 2BT Facebook, or on Twitter is 2BT Show.
At 2BT Show.
Yeah. At 2BT Show. And if you want to email us, is 2BTShow@gmail.com. So all those places you can find us. You can give us your thoughts, write us dirty emails.
Dave is going to be the top of
But anyways, I think that's going to do it for us. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
And Steve.
And that's going to do it. Good night, guys.
Good times.
All right.
Face down in a gut, I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all. Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC,
Han, Luke, and Leia,
R2 and 3PO,
Rey, Finn,
Yoda, Kenobi,
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no trial.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca, you know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there.
Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
So it's like...
Meh. Ooh.
Yeah, man, that's...
Cool. I can't remember this week.
Hey, where's the fuzzy taco?
Let's just be surprised. There's Mandalorians, there's clone troopers, there's stormtroopers, there's Jedi, there's Sith, Imperial officers, rebel troopers.
Suck it up.
Buttercup.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm going to die here. I'm going to have a heart attack on this couch because the shark's eating me.
Hmm. That's true.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.